الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. What we will discuss in this program is the surah that was recited in the qira', a surah that majority of us somewhere along the line memorized. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. The purpose of having these programs, and in many masajid we have given, we call it under the title of lessons from Quran, because it has been noticed that over the years that passed, man's relationship with many things improved in a very unique manner. When the burst of technology took place, many old people said, I can't just get to this. I can't understand how this phone works. My grandson can do it, but I can't do this. But a few years later, you found that old grandfather. I went to one place, I saw a grandmother. She was playing one game on her phone. But to see a grandmother playing that basketball game, she was more bouncing than the ball. But how she learned that game, and she's not really in the cupboard. Her granddaughter taught her, mommy, let's bounce. So when she saw it, 1, 2 times, she got it. People came in the different lands, and they learned languages. They learned languages which in their own land they never had any relationship with. Little bit effort was made in that direction and they got it. But when it came to our relationship with Quran, by the fadl of Almighty Allah in South Africa, to a great extent it has still been looked after. And if a person says 50 years ago what was South Africa, then you would say in the masajid you could hardly find an imam who could read nicely. But today the person on the musalla, the voice of his is like the voice of the Imam of the Arab. South Africa today has become a place where people from outside can phone and say, Ramadan is coming, can you send someone over? So in that aspect, alhamdulillah, a lot of progress has been made. The other day I was reading one article, a very great sheikh of Egypt, Sheikh Ali Tantawi, his granddaughter most likely, she wrote, that she's saying, my grandfather, he was the great sheikh of Egypt. She says, how many grandchildren he has. And they spread out in Beirut. And because effort was not made, it was thought that if you grow up as a Muslim, Islam will remain for you forever. It doesn't happen. So she's writing that so many grandchildren my great-grandfather had, sheikh of Egypt he was. And then she says, how many of the families became murtad? How many of the families became murtad? Meaning they left, not Quran, they left Islam. Someone said, but your grandfather, do you know who your grandfather is? It makes no difference. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ta'ahadul Quran, hold on to this Quran, worry of this Quran. He says, by the oath of Almighty Allah, how fast a camel, when the man lets go of that rope, how fast it runs. As long as the camel is in the rope, it will see to everything the man needs. In the desert, the hardest thing is to go across hot sand. Allah made the camel so unique that the leg to the stomach, there's a lot of place. So the heat of the ground, forget reaching the rider, doesn't even come up to the stomach of the camel. Lot of place. They have written it's like a natural aircon. The air flows under the camel, the reef doesn't reach. Take away the camel and bring the rider down and tell him, you walk onto the sand. Sand of the desert is such that you sink in it. Sink means your leg goes in, you have to pull it out. Your leg goes in, you pull it out. Tell a man to run in the desert, the best exercise in your life. It's not like running on normal tar. Your leg goes in, pull it out, leg goes in. Allah created the camel. The leg of the camel is such it doesn't go in. It like glides over the sand. Take away the camel and that man has to walk in the desert. He's never going to manage. The body of the camel has been made solid. And the eye of the camel, we have one eyelid. They write it got like two eyelids. So it's able to close one, which is a see-through eyelid. And it can still see around it. In the desert, you will sometimes get storms. When the storm is coming, it's wind. But when wind is going to blow, it's going to blow small, small stones. Those stones will hit you so hard, it's like a bullet going through the body. Before the man notices the storm, the camel stops. He'll give it a kick to move. The camel is not moving. He looks around, he'll pick up the sand from that side, he's rising to the storm. The camel already picked it up. The camel now becomes a wall. From the direction of the storm, the man jumps on the other side. The camel doesn't run. The camel will just stay there. The body of the camel is so strong, stones will hit that body, the camel won't even move. And the man on the other side only needs to put his head into the body of the camel. And he's looked after. How will he know the storm has stopped? The camel after a while will open its eye. And if the stones are still flying, it will hit the eye. But it got one eyelid on the inside that will stay closed. It will bang and the camel will just wipe it away. When the camel stands, now the man knows I can now get up. Take away the camel and one storm, and the man will not survive. The camel has water and it got the man's water. Before leaving, he puts his food on the camel. And before leaving, the camel has eaten and taken its food. Along the journey, the camel will never say to the master, I need your food. Its food is already inside its belly. It will take it out and take it in. Take it out, take it in. It got enough food for the journey and it's carrying his food. The camel has drunk a lot of water, so much water it's going to take it right through. It won't ask him for water. The hump of the camel is fat. But if the camel is running short of food, that hump starts melting. You will even see the hump fall to the side to show my fat is going on. Meaning I got extra fridge in the top there. If ever my food is running, I got more than enough, I'll carry your food. Take away the camel and tell the man you have to transport your own food. Where is he going to manage to carry food? The camel is his ship. The camel is his container. The camel is his navigator. Along the journey he loses his direction. The camel understands my master doesn't know where to go. Immediately the camel switches search for water. And its body will allow it to find a place of water in the desert. Because that's what this man needs at the moment, water. Then it will just start running, where he is already half dead. Where the camel is supposed to start going slower, I haven't got food, the camel starts running, it finds that water. The camel is life for a man in the desert. But as long as that man holds the camel, that camel, if ever the man gets down and he doesn't tie the camel. A camel's nature is very fast, it can go out of your grip. Allah's Nabi said, Ta'ahadul Quran, remember your Quran. Because by the oath of Almighty Allah, faster than a camel, this Quran slips out of the hands of the person who got it. Now what does it mean? One is would have said the person who memorized Quran, if he's not making his door, 3 years ago he knew Quran so well, 3 years later he said my Quran has become very weak. He said, why did you let it go? It was so solid at that time. another meaning of it, the meaning that applies to me and you. This Quran for me and you is our camel in this world. As long as this Quran is in our life, like the man on the camel is kept high from all the problems on earth. As long as Quran is in our life, we will be kept high from all the trials of the times. Trial is called heat. The desert gives heat. People say times are very difficult. There's girls all around, there's women around, they're not dressed appropriate. They're there in the business, they're there in the university, I come at night, they're there on the phone. Wherever I'm looking, I'm seeing the picture of a pretty girl. And the way they beautify them, that you will say, I wish my wife was like this. Now that man says, it wasn't like this in the past. Deserts were always in the woods. And the sand was always hot. But the man who wants to survive was told, you can't think you will manage to walk on the desert. You need something to lift you away from it. That Quran was there. As long as Quran was read, and it was read with emotion, feeling, it would lift the man. He would then find his inclination towards things of this world just starts breaking. Wealth of this world and woman of this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every nation had its trial. He said, the trial of my ummah is wealth. What a sentence it was. Think of the people in the past. In the past, the kings were the people of wealth. They had lot and lot of gold. As for the people, if you hear or read history, you will see people lived in villages. In villages, there was no talk of wealth. Everything belonged to the village master. Everyone else in the village lived around the village master. They respected him, they honored him, he was their everything. He died or another one took over, then he became everything. The people never competed. It was never my house has to be bigger than your house, smarter than your house. My bank balance, there was no banks. There was no cash. There was bartering. I got skin, I went hunting. You got some shoes, I need shoes. I got clothing, I'll give you. Man would never keep extra. I got my three animals in the back. I got a little milk, extra milk. What I'm going to do? Give it to my neighbor. There was no storing. There was no fridges. There was no fridges. There was no freezers. When you couldn't store anything, there was no going to holiday. I need a good bank balance so I can go Australia, I can go Canada, I can go America. There was going nowhere. The world was like that. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. For every nation there was a trial. In my nation the trial is going to be wealth. He said it at the time when the Arabs had no wealth. The Arabs, on a broad scale, Sahabi comes to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabi says, that can I perform my salah with only one cloth? Because it doesn't cover my body so well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many people are there who can afford two cloths? How many people are there who can afford two cloths? Meaning, at that time, for a man to even have one cloth was regarded, you got something at least. It comes in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some sahaba were so poor that they had a small cloth. They used to sit in such a position that part of their body that was not getting covered, they would be able to just push it over them because of the crouch that they would make. It was a time when there was nothing. Then the first wealth from Bahrain comes. First wealth from Bahrain. The people of Bahrain have made a truce with the Muslims. Now they were told, once a year you must send. So the first wealth of Bahrain reaches Medina Munawwara. After Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns. The masjid is quite full. compared to normal Sahaba radiallahu anhu, normally would perform their salah in their own masajid. And then on a big occasion like Jumu'ah, they would come to Masjid An-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That day they are there for Fajr. He understands why they all came. The money has come. So he smiles to them. He says, "Oh my Sahaba, don't worry. Meaning I have so much by me, it's for everyone. No one is going to get forgotten today. I got enough." And then he says, "Allah's oath, it is not poverty that I fear on my companions, on my ummah." He says, "I fear the day when the earth will give out its wealth." What a word it was. When the earth will give out its wealth, it was going to happen in this ummah. It was going to happen in the beginning part, where they became wealthy, but the earth never gave out wealth. They became wealthy because of conquest. They conquered Persia, they conquered Rome. They became extremely wealthy, but still the earth never gave out. Then the world saw that time where mining began in a manner which had never been seen before. Where gold could be taken out from the depth of the earth. And especially in the Arab lands where the oil was going to come out. Where the earth gave out its wealth and suddenly the richest people in the world became the Muslim world. The Arab states, the Muslim states in the world, the amount of wealth that they have. But when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about it, he never spoke about, "I wait for the time when my ummah will be super wealthy." Rather he said, "I fear upon you. When the earth will give out its wealth, you will start fighting, competing with each other. And it will destroy you like it destroyed the people of the past. Visit those lands as you move around. You will find so much of wealth in those people, but you will find there is no deen in those people. So much of wealth, but no deen. You will find the man who got tigers and lions and bears, but when you will tell him, 'You are an Arab, do you know Quran?' He says, 'I never got the opportunity to learn.'" That when this Quran slips, it's gone. You will be able to catch a tiger after it. But to bring Quran back in your family is not so easy. Said the fitna of my ummah, trial of my ummah, he said, one is wealth. Another time he said, the trial of my ummah is woman. How we saw the trial of woman, no one in the world ever saw it. The people in the past were told, at the end of times, at the end of times, meaning me and you, a nation of the final Nabi, that's me and you, during the era, one woman, one prostitute, will commit her act of prostitution. She will do it in such a manner that there will be people watching her from all over. At that time when they heard it, they would have wondered, how can a prostitute ever do her act of prostitution in a manner that is so public? No one is saying, "What are you up to?" This ummah was going to see it. Television came out. Hollywood came out. And in Hollywood they went to the extremes of what is called dirt and filth. They would put their own age restriction also, and that age restriction meant nothing. They would pay millions because there was the devil behind it. Millions would be paid, billions would be paid for that actor and actress to do that act of prostitution. Prostitution is, "I'll pay you to do the filthy act." And they were going to do it knowing the whole world will be watching. We were spoken about. It says the fitna, the trial of my ummah will be woman. It was going to happen in such a big manner that the small child, in our era already, the small child who got a phone, every few days the father will catch him. That what are you watching? And the boy will say, I'm addicted. He'll ask the daughter, what are you watching? She's addicted. Addicted to watching something that when me and you were young, we would never ever have thought that a small child will ever be seeing pictures so filthy. If you enter into the schooling system of today, it was a few years ago in another country, where the teacher, the law of the school is that before teaching the children, which children? The children of that grade, what is called like no grade, that young child who you think knows nothing, now the school in their syllabus have to introduce that child to what is called male and female interaction. So they have a cartoon, but first they send a message to the parents that during this week we will be teaching your child the secrets of the male and the female. So if you have any objections, then come to the school and discuss it with us. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. Perhaps a few years more than this. So that father is telling me in that country, United Kingdom, that tomorrow now, he said, we went for that cartoon. And there were many parents, Muslim and non-Muslim. And because it's a cartoon, even if we objected, the teacher could give an answer. To say this is a cartoon, like we're not showing a real movie. So for the small child in a cartoon to understand the body of the boy, the body of the girl, how each one grows up. And he's telling me my child, and his child in the back sitting is so small, so innocent. He said, tomorrow my child in the school, they're going to be teaching this. And few years later, the same thing came in South Africa. Where the child in the youngest age, the teacher is already ordered to introduce him to the secrets of a female. Allah Ta'ala in Quran, when he speaks about when must a person not just enter into the room, when must a woman now make a distance from young boys, that he can't just enter. Now the woman must be raised. Almighty Allah doesn't give an age. That when the child is 13, when the child is 14, then you tell the boy, you're big now. Now don't just walk into the kitchen. There's a woman there, there's your cousin there. She must be raised. But before that, he can just come in, he can walk, he can say, I came to get the tea. But what age Allah Ta'ala mentions? Almighty Allah says, and those children who are still not aware of the secrets of the woman, ala awrati nisa, those children that are still not aware of the secrets of women, they can be free in and out. And as soon as they become aware, then there must be a gap between the girl and the boy. Now he can't just come and look at his cousin. Up till today, that age was written by the ulama, age of 12. Then they said, okay, now age of 11. Then at that time, said, some boys by the age of 10 tell them, you know, you watch out. You. But in today's time, when the child is only 6 years old, and the first thing he's learning in school is the secret of woman. By the time that child is 7 or 8 years old, his only thought is that Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fitna of my ummah, the trial of my ummah will be woman. And that trial is going to be wealth. It was going to come in such a big manner that the phone was going to bring the opposite sex right close to us. Messages, WhatsApps, internet, and what we're entering on the next stage is now called metaverse, where you got a universe better than our universe. Now the child can put something on his head. Forget the child, the adult. The old person who's sitting in hospital, they can put something on their heads and it will make them feel they're in another world. With this metaverse, if you put it on, and the clean metaverse will be, you press, I want to go climb Mount Everest, then you will really think you're climbing Mount Everest. You will feel the wind. You will feel the tiredness. You will feel the cold. And then if you say, I want to go to the bottom of the waters, you really feel, you will feel that shark coming right past you. That's called the clean. But like how in the internet you always got the dark internet. When this will come out amongst our people, Allah save all of us. Allah has given the devil tools. And the devil went out of his way to make the feel hot. In this ummah it was going to be made hot with women and wealth. And me and you have to go across this entire Sahara. On this entire desert we have to leave and we have to make it to the end. That man, if he gets stuck anywhere along the journey, he'll die in the desert. The only protection for him is to stay with his camel until he reaches the ending. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look after this Quran. Ta'ahadul Quran, this is our camel. Whether we in Bloemfontein, whether we in Gauteng, whether we in America, whether in Brazil, whoever went with this Quran was able to cross any desert of the world. The woman, the wealth, the attractions, the thrills, the traps, everything was on the ground, but Quran lifted the individual above the ground. When he needed the mercy of Allah, as the camel found for him water, in the world of dreams, water signifies the mercy of Allah. Where camel found for him water, Quran finds for its reader the mercy of Allah. It will take him to the place where he finds satiation. Stop reading Quran and you'll find you start getting thirsty. Then you just become lethargic. Now you're lazy. Now I don't want to go masjid anymore. Now I'm finding Islam boring. See, but once upon a time you were so good, what happened? The individual forgot once upon a time, daily in our house, my wife, the children, we used to read Quran. When that Quran was read, it cleansed the mind, it cleansed the heart, the poison from all sides, it pushed it out. Beauty of Quran, look after this Quran. As the years have gone, man has become so busy with technology that you ask him at night, what time do you sleep? In the past he would say, you know me, I can't stay awake. After Isha I sleep immediately. And in today's time, he says, after Isha my phone starts. And I stay busy with the phone, until 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. See, I don't know where the time went. And then he is asked, how much Quran do you read? And he thinks about when Ramzan was. Meaning perhaps the last time I decided to read Quran was Ramadan. The Ta'ahadul Quran was set for me and you. Establish our relationship with Quran again. Because as the desert gets hotter, the trials become more severe, we need to be lifted away from it. If we have the camel, it will take us through every storm. If you don't have that camel, the eye will be the first thing that is knocked. In today's time, when people say the hardest, it is to protect my gaze. When that storm blows in the desert, it is the camel that looks after the eye of the rider. It says, just put your head in me and you will not have to lose your eye. Lose our Quran. And to look after this gaze is not an easy thing at all. The man who's not married says, I need to get married. The person who's getting married in 3 months' time says, I can't survive anymore. I need to get married immediately. So I say to that person that if you can't manage 3 months because of desire, what happens if after you get married and your eye falls for somebody else? Then when you go and say, I can't manage again, you'll have to learn how to manage. And how do we get this? We need that camel to lift us. We need this Quran back in our life. Lessons of Quran, this program started, the series started, so that people can learn again to create relationship with Quran. Relationship number one, can I read Quran? And by the kindness of Allah in South Africa, so much has been given that nearly every masjid when it's open, the imam after a few days says, who's ready to do hifz of Quran? Forget reading Quran, reading beautiful Quran. Who wants to memorize Quran? And in every masjid we visit in South Africa, in other parts of the world you don't find this here so much. In South Africa, every masjid you will visit, you will find a hifz class taking place. So good we are. Reading Quran, memorizing Quran. Now there's another step on the ladder that we have to make. Understanding the meaning of Quran. I have to understand it, my wife has to understand it, our children have to understand it. Because the greatest bayan that was brought for mankind is the bayan of Quran. But if I cannot understand that bayan, my relationship with it slowly, slowly weakens. Example, if a man comes and they say it's an Arabic lecture. So if I don't know the Arabic language, I will have to sit in a translation. The translation will never sound as beautiful as the original. The speech of the king is the king of all speeches. There is no one who can ever, ever translate Quran. The man who learns the language can live with the meaning of Quran. For the man who made a mistake last night, he will come for Fajr Salah. And in the Fajr Salah, he will hear one verse of Quran, where Almighty Allah will say, indeed Allah is most merciful. And indeed the punishment of your Allah is most severe. It will sound so unique in the Arabic language, he'll grab the heart. He committed the worst act at night, the Fajr Salah made him make Tawbah immediately. He heard no one's bayan, the Fajr Salah was his bayan. During the day he cheated in the business. He came for the Maghrib Salah. In the Maghrib Salah he heard, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Total destruction is for the one who's cheating. Immediately he started shivering. After the Maghrib Salah he made Tawbah, he said, Allah, I won't do it again. His bayan came in the Maghrib. He doesn't need anyone else to give a bayan. He gets his bayan in every salah. That child goes to the hifz class. As he's memorizing Quran, he got a relationship with the meaning. As he's reading Quran, he's hearing about Jannah. He's learning about Jahannam. He doesn't need his parents to tell him, don't do evil, you'll burn. He's reading about it. Young child he is, he's reading about Jahannam, he's crying. But you take away the relationship of understanding Quran. And that is one problem we all have. This program of lessons from Quran started to introduce all of us again to the need that our relationship with Quran, if it's getting loose, we need to strengthen it. That camel has to be brought back to its master, our Quran has to be brought back. We are a nation whose foundation is Quran. If the foundation is weak, the building will never stand. Reading Quran. Let it not happen that there's a single child that the father just feels that little you know reading, more than enough, never enough. In Quran you learn how to read. Then you learn how to read beautiful. Then you learn how to memorize. Then you need to learn the meaning of Quran. Not only the alim, every individual, because it was a message for mankind at last. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Surah Fatiha, man said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Allah, show me the path. Allah, keep me on the path. The answer to the dua of Surah Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. This Quran is now here for you. This is this book. But when that Quran came, where we learned how to use technology, where we learned how to use the phone, where we learned other languages, for some reason we just never connected with the language of Quran. For which reason our relationship is breaking. Allah, inspire all of us. In the faraway lands, in the near lands, whoever will make an effort in this direction, he will find Allah will open ways. And understanding Quran will become very easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Almighty Allah says, indeed we made this Quran very easy for people to understand it. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Now is there anyone who's ready to take his lessons from my Quran? It will be made very easy. It just needs a few steps in that direction. So very quickly, the surah I will mention. Alam tara kayfa, we come to the salah. Maghrib salah, the imam normally chooses a short surah. So from wal asri, we know the short surahs. We learned it in madrasa, wal asr. But if someone says, do you know what it means? Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. By the oath of time, majority of mankind has lost it. The next few surahs explains where they lost it. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Destruction to that group of people who lost it in what? That their only job in life is to mock, to laugh, to carry tales, to make ghibat, backbite about somebody else. That's their life. To put someone down. One ayat, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَ لُمَزَ. Destruction for the one who's always stabbing somebody else. Meaning who's always trying to harm the other. Always looking for faults at somebody else. لُمَزَ. The individual who will hear this, he'll shiver. He say, did I backbite today? How could I backbite? For Allah has said on that day, as you try to bring him down with your tongue, we will bring the fire on top of him. You try to keep him down, Allah Ta'ala says, "Hukama, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَ لُمَزَ." Then Allah Ta'ala will say, what will he be? His punishment? Hukama. Humaza, stand. Lumaza, you look for his faults. You try to break him. Hultama, Allah says, I'll bring a punishment that will break you. The individual who will read this will say, I will never ever use my tongue against you. Then comes the next surah, Alam tara kayfa. Majority are in destruction. Alam tara kayfa, many of us heard the inference. But the surah is speaking to us all. Sometimes when a man in power finds himself stronger than people under him. Example, I got a business and 50 people work for me. That man who got 50 people under him, he thinks he's the king of the world. And he forgets above him there's someone more powerful. Alam tara kayfa came to say, don't ever forget whatever power you got over the one under you. The one above you got even more power. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past a sahabi. He was hitting a slave of his who had gone out of limits. From behind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one sentence. Remember whatever power you got today over the slave, Allah got much more power over you. Meaning very easy for you to give the slap now, But know that Allah can also then give you the scepter. He turns around and says, "O Allah, O Nabi of Allah, I free him for the sake of Allah." Meaning I'll never take a chance with Allah. But the man who forgets, the woman is in his house, he thinks it's only me and her. So for him to give her one slap, the whole world is talking about this woman rights, and especially woman violence. And it's worse in non-Muslims than it is in Muslims. Because by the kindness of Allah, Muslims don't drink. When their husbands drink, their women want to run to the corners of the earth. Because that man who was smiling so nice before the party, after drinking he becomes a wild animal. In that bedroom she's not with her husband anymore, she's with an animal. He might choke her, he might stab her. That might be her last night, she loves like this. She gets gripped with fear whenever he loses it. Allah save the people of Ummah. That liquor was made totally haram for this Ummah. But still in Muslim circles, when anger grabs a person, he sometimes forgets that if she's weaker than me, it doesn't mean that there isn't anyone stronger than me. He'll come in the masjid, "Alam tara kayfa?" Did you not see? Did you not see me? The matter was made so clear to you, as though you saw it. What was the issue? 50 days before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Makkah Mukarramah was the Kaaba. Not far from Makkah Mukarramah is the land of Yemen. Far but not so far, it's still called the Arab lands. In Yemen, Abyssinia is in Africa. North Africa is known as the Kingdom of Habsha, Christian king. And his armies have gone all the way right until what we call Yemen. So the area of Yemen is also under his control. In Yemen he has his lieutenants, the man working under him. His name is Abraha. Abraha has come all the way from Africa. He is new to the Arab lands. He knows nothing about Kaaba. For the Arabs, the greatest thing in their heart is the Kaaba, the house of Allah. Even if some of them were also idol worshippers, but they would go to the Kaaba to worship the idol. Kaaba meant everything for them. No one dare touch the Kaaba. But Abraha is a man who doesn't understand Kaaba. So in Yemen, the days of Hajj is coming. And he sees the groups of the Arabs going past. So on inquiring for them, "Where are you going?" They say, "We are going to the Kaaba." So he says, "What is this Kaaba?" He says, "The house of God." So they say, he says to them, "Can there be anything more greater than what the king of Habsha got? Where are you going somewhere else?" So he says, "This is not appropriate. Rather in Yemen I will build something so beautiful that after that when the Arabs will reach Yemen, I'll tell them, now you don't have to go to Kaaba, you stop here. This is the new Kaaba. You get your entertainment, you get your enjoyment." Amazing Quran. It started with the effort to take people away from the house of Allah 50 days before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most likely the end, and we are near the end. The end will also see the efforts to take people again away from the house of Allah. At that time they built entertainment in Yemen. So you don't need to go to a Kaaba, get your enjoyment here. Go today into the lands of Hijaz and you will see the buildings that are being put up. Everyone with the intention that when you come to Makkah Mukarramah, There's no need to spend more than 2 days by the Kaaba. Make your Umrah. One Umrah is sufficient. There's a lot of things to see around the Kaaba. Let's go for excursions. How it started, comes the ending. You need this Quran. So Abraha built his entertainment, but he never understood that the Kaaba got such a magnet that even if there's no outside covering, even if the covering is plain black, even if they lift the ghilaf, the cover, even if it is now the brown bricks, even if the Kaaba, the bricks are taken down for renovation, and they put a white curtain around, no matter what the covering of the Kaaba is, and in our small lifetime, we saw the different times, when the work was taking place, it was just white around it. We saw times when the ghilaf was lifted, we saw the majority of the time, the beautiful black ghilaf of the Kaaba. On every occasion, the attachment of the world with the Kaaba is something that everyone knows. When that individual comes in the first time and he looks at the Kaaba, he cries out. But Abraha could not understand it. And the present rulers of the time cannot understand it. The attachment of the Kaaba and the hearts of the people of the Ummah is like a magnet which you cannot pull back. So he created his place of entertainment, and some Arabs came. They were very impressed. Entertainment is no problem, but when you say, I made this so you don't go to the Kaaba, that's where the problem is. That Arab was irritated, how dare you compete with the Kaaba. So that night, this group of Arabs, they messed this place up with the most filthiest of dirt, meaning stool. They did their stool, and they took their stool, and they put it on the walls of the place. And in the early part of the morning, they ran. So when the person came, and he saw stool, dirt, you have done this to the palace of the king. And when he informed Abraha, Abraha said, forget my, this is the house of the king. King of Abyssinia, mighty Habsha kingdom. Who do these Arabs think they are? And instead of looking for those Arabs, he said, I will show revenge, not on the Arab, on the Kaaba. And then he sends a message to Abyssinia, I am going to break this Kaaba. From Abyssinia, one elephant is sent. And with him, he takes another, altogether about 8 to 13 elephants. 8 to 13 elephants is a small number of elephants, but for the Arabs it's a big number. They have camels, but not elephants in battle. With these elephants, every small group of Arabs that comes, ready to defeat or stop Abraha, because the news has spread, this man wants to break the Kaaba. Every group of Arabs that comes, small groups, where you can fight against that elephant Jamal. They move the groups, the message is spreading. The uncle of Rasul, grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib, he gets the message, he speaks with the Arabs. Many of his animals are also taken away by the army of Abraha. He goes, they say to him, the king is angry at the moment. He says, say to them, I am the leader of the Quraysh. He says, what have you come for? He said, I came to get my animals. He said, y'all don't fight with me, I'm not going to fight with you. I have come only for the Kaaba. Meaning you stay out of this war. You don't fight with me, and I'm not going to fight with you. Just stay one side. How it started, the end is the same. At the present moment in the Mubarak lands of Hijaz and Muqaddas, it has reached the stage where the people are told, you don't fight with the government, we won't fight with you. But you just stay out of the issue. What we want to do in these lands, let us do it. If we want women to be more than men, if we want women to take out the niqab, if we want shops not to close salah time, If we want discos and clubs and parties to be taking place right around the Haram, if we want dancing to be done in the same place where the appointments for the Hajj are being made, so in front is dancing girls and sitting at the table the man is signing that I'll be booking this hotel and this hotel. If we want to do it, as long as you don't interfere, we will not interfere. Don't you dare interfere with us. And those people who live in those lands, Allah make it easy for them. They have understood even if they try to interfere, it's impossible for them. Like how Abdul Muttalib at that time, when he spoke to the people, they said, we don't have the ability to stand up. So the king said, I haven't come to fight with you. My problem is with the Kaaba. This government's problem is also with the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib finally told the people that we will go to the mountains. But before going to the mountains, he held on to the Kaaba. And he said, oh Allah, how we protect our things, you protect your house. How we protect our things, you protect your house. And then they went out. And between Abraha and the Kaaba, now there's nothing. And as he's moving in the direction of the Kaaba, no one to stop him. Then the elephant stops. Elephant stops. And they hit the elephant with steel. Then the elephant stands and it turns in one direction. As soon as it turns in a direction, it starts like running, walking fast. But they don't want it to go in that direction. Again, with force they have to hit it. They turn it, it is. And because some said it was only one elephant, some said no, it was the one and the other 8 or 13 behind it. It seems all are just obedient, this one elephant is not. And as this elephant is doing its stubborn moves, they said, you stubborn elephant. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on, when he would describe this, he would say, the one who stopped the elephant. The one who stopped the elephant. Meaning Allah's command told the elephant, don't go further, and that elephant couldn't go. And as that elephant is not moving further from the oceans, Allah tabarakallah makes the birds start crying. And different descriptions are given of those birds, like the green birds. Some have said with a little long neck. Whatever descriptions were given of those birds, but they all said that each bird came with 3 stones. One in the beak and in the 2 claws. Coming with 3 stones each bird. And that bird's job was just to fly over this army and to drop that stones. How that stone then fell, with what force it fell, what it did, some died there and there. But many of them did not die immediately. One is called sudden death, is not a painful death. One is it called, this was a cancerous death, where the stone went into the body but the man never died. It began rotting from within. On getting knocked with the stones, that entire army turned and now moving quickly back towards Yemen, because they saw that, and just stones like rain falling. Some of the stones went through the rider and through the elephant. And both were flat, but many of the soldiers and Abraha sitting on one elephant, they started moving towards Yemen. And Almighty Allah did not let him die immediately. As he's moving, more of the body inside is rotting. More of the body is rotting. They say every stage as they're moving from Makkah to Yemen, people are just falling. To see people dying in front of you, that's more terrible than normal death. He also, the king of Yemen, the best doctors in the world he can have in Yemen, but he can't reach his doctors. As he's going, his body is just giving up more and more. That pain that he went to was to say, don't ever mess with Allah and the house of Allah and the deen of Allah. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ. Now when the incident is so clear in front, Allah Tabarakallah said, did you not see? Supposed to have been, did you not hear? The Quran This is such a scene, you're not supposed to hear it. This has to be seen. That it must be in front of the mind, how my Allah wiped out that army. But why it must be in front of my mind? Because like how we have governments who got a problem with the Kaaba today, and they also need Surah Alam Tara Kaifa to tell them, don't mess with Allah. And now you need very powerful Arab, what we call leaders, you might call them puppets. They know the Arabic language, but they also need to pay attention to the Surah. They don't think your wealth has made you safe from the punishment of Allah. When He wants to, one stone is sufficient and you will be wiped out. But me and you sometimes also become like Abraham. Where we also say, I'll do what I want to do, Allah tabarakala surah then comes on me. Alam tara kaifa, did you not see? Kaifa fa'ala rabbuka, how your Allah dealt with the people of the earth. So if I am the man of the Ferrari, I am the man of the Lamborghini, I am the man of the latest BMW, and as I move with that force and power, that when I come for Maghrib Salah and I hear, Alam tara kaifa, do you not know how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? And I also shiver a little and say, Allah, I will never mess with you. Alam tara kaifa, have you not seen how your Allah dealt with the people of the elephant? Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. How many plans they had to destroy the house of Allah, did He not make their plans into pieces? Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil wa arsala 'alayhim tayran ababil. He could have sent Jibreel alayhi salam, one angel, one wing, one smack of his wing, and the whole army would have gone. But Almighty Allah said, rather we send to them birds. But lots and lots of birds. In that there was an indication, the protection of Islam. Because 50 days after this was the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the protection of Islam was now no longer going to be through the angels. In the previous nations, when the nation disobeyed and the Nabi said, Allah, help, and an angel came, punishment, and you were gone. But in this ummah, it was going to now be different. In this ummah, the protection for Islam was going to happen with who? With those who are like those small birds. Meaning my child and your child. And when Allah sends them in the world, then whether they go reading Quran in the world, teaching Hadith in the world, teaching Islam in the world, propagating Islam in the world, fighting for the deen of Allah in the world, when those armies move, you will say, where did they come from? You will say, just the other day they were the young boys on the ground. The surah was to also give a message to every father and mother that for the protection of this Islam, Allah is going to use the small. If you make an intention for your own child, that Allah, when you are choosing the birds to fight for Islam, then let my son and my daughter also be that bird. That small bird took down the army of Abraha because Almighty Allah said, I have selected you to look after my Kaaba. The surah was to show the value of the children of the surah. But for our children to be that father and mother have to put them front. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara. Just when he entered, the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu takes the boy. She says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my young son, please accept him as your khadim. He says, I got the chance to then be the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. What a chance he got, but what it started, the mother said, please, mothers and fathers of today, When the child is small, you will have to bring your child. You will have to bring him to the masjid. You will have to take him to the Kaaba. You will have to say, Allah, accept this child for your Islam. You will have to present the child, and then the bird will be accepted. أَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا birds أَبَابِينَ in groups and groups. This is what the Sunnah got. Go for the Hajj, go for the Umrah, then you'll see those groups. You'll see one group coming from this land, one group coming from that land. Say, where they came from? Once upon a time, they were the young birds. They just grew up now. طَيْرًا أَبَابِينَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ. The bird was so small, Almighty Allah says, forget the birds. It was the pebble that was even smaller than the birds. The bird was just the carrier. The pebble was even smaller. If that small pebble was more than sufficient, that small child running around, he's much bigger than the small pebble. To be that pebble, to be that bird. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْبُولٍ. As for the enemy, Almighty Allah said, you saw when the cow eats, and after he eats that hay, and sometimes he spits it out, then what that dirt looks after, you don't feel like touching it. Allah says, I made them like that. Like that hay that was just bitten, bitten, and then taken out. That is what was the enemies of Islam. But on the other side, there is the birds of Islam. They are the stones of Islam. They will be used for the protection of Islam. Allah doesn't need any army to protect His deen, to protect His Kaaba. And Allah, when His punishment comes, then even me, if I have to behave like an Abraha, then Allah Tabarakallah says, then think of Surah Al-Fil. Abraha had the elephant, neither he nor the elephant stood against Allah. Where I am going to stand against Allah? This is the beauty of Quran. May Allah Tabarakallah bless us all. Again, an inclination and intention in everyone's heart. Allah, my relationship with Quran must be so strong that when I stand up in front of you, I will be called min ahlil Quran. You are the people of Quran. Allah, make us all from the people of Quran. And for the surah, Allah Tabarakallah, make us all the birds of Islam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.